You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit golem.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi astafa. خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. Today we recited a verse of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّكَرُونَ. And in the verse after that, Allah says, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمْ الشَّيْطَانُ كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسُهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. These verses make reference to a practice that was taking place before the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people who would come to the Kaaba to perform tawaf, they had this idea that they would sin in their clothes. In the day, while they were sinning, they would wear their normal clothes. And every pair of garment that they possessed had been one that they had sinned in. So they felt that it was impure for them to perform tawaf around the house of Allah in those very same clothes. So what they would do is, when they would come for the tawaf, they would take all of their clothes off. And they would walk around the Kaaba completely unclothed. According to one narration, this was a common practice of all of the mushrikeen minus Quraysh. According to another narration, this was a practice of a group of people that were specially from Yemen. Now, during the day, the men would perform tawaf. During the night, the women would perform their tawaf because of this habit of theirs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, O children of Adam, we revealed your garments to you as a source of beauty. قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا. Two reasons why we gave you garments. The two reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us garments, first of all, is to cover our private area. And the second of all, is so that we can be beautiful. The first and most important principle of wearing a garment in Islam is to cover your private area. If you think that by uncovering yourself, you are getting rid of the garments that you sinned in, but what about the rest of your body? Are you going to chop off each limb of yours? What about the limbs that you sinned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with? You can't get rid of them all one by one. Remember that you make tawbah to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for your sins, then it has nothing to do with your garment or your body anymore. Now if you look at this verse from a wider scope, what you learn is that we dress every day. Every day everyone is dressing. Not only are we dressing, we are heavy buyers. You know, Groupon is destroying us, right? We're going online and we're shopping, and online shopping is just destroying people. Their credit cards are being flooded with debts because we are people that are addicted to buying. If you were to open up our closets, we have rooms full of garments that are only worn maybe once or twice a year. One of my buddies in Chicago, he once showed me his collection of shoes. I kid you not, it was a full room, you know, a nice, decent bedroom size. All the walls were covered in shoes. You know, we have so much that we possess of shoes and garments and this and that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that don't be excessive in your buying and selling. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who are excessive. Now, the main point here is to remember that when you buy a garment or when you wear a garment, your intention needs to be clear. What is your intention? The reason why I'm wearing this garment for most is to cover myself. You know, in America, the idea is, at least in the West, the idea is to dress to impress so you can show off to other people. You dress something, it's not for your own contentment, for the contentment of your Lord, for the contentment of your spouse, it's for the eye of other people. The first motto. The second motto when it comes to dressing is that we dress not to cover, right? When we dress, we're trying to release our body, trying to reveal our body. When as Muslims, we don't dress to reveal, we dress to conceal, to cover our body. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right before these verses, He narrates the story of Adam alayhi salam. We've all heard the story in our Sunday schools. Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa were in paradise. Shaitan, he fooled them into eating from the tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden them. Now, we know the story up to there. But my question is, do any of us know what happened immediately after Adam alayhi salam ate from that tree?
He lost his clothes.
He started covering themselves with the leaves.
What happened was that their satr, their private area, was exposed, and they started covering themselves. Yeah. What you learn from this is that the first attack Shaitan ever made on insan was what? He took our modesty away from us. Eating from that tree became a result of Adam alayhi salam being uncovered and his wife Hawa being uncovered. Now they were husband and wife, but even then they realized that now they were going to be uncovered and there was a need to cover themselves. وَتَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانَ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ They immediately begin to reach for the leaves of paradise and cover their private area with those leaves. So the first attack Shaitan made on mankind, on human beings, on our father Adam alayhi salam, that's why Allah in this ayah, He's not saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ The ayah starts off by saying, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, don't you see this is how Shaitan played your father? This is what he did to Adam alayhi salam. He uncovered him. And the moment you become uncovered, that's where now you are open to the rest of the traps of Shaitan. That's why in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam, la yaftinannakum ash-shaytan kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannati yanzi'u anhuma libasahuma liyuriyahuma sawatihima. That, O son of Adam, don't be fooled like Shaitan, he played the trick on Adam alayhi salam. Because when he played that trick, their bodies became uncovered. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ Shaitan is very smart when he plans against you. He can see you and his people can see you from an angle in which you can't even see them. I can see all of you here. If someone was to stand up and try to attack me, I would immediately defend myself because I can see you. But from behind me, let's say someone is standing right here, right behind me, can I see them? No. Can they see me?
Yes.
Now they can see me, I can't see them. Imagine a hunter sitting in the forest and his prey can't see him. What are the chances the hunter is going, if he's a skill hunter, he's going to miss the prey. He's not going to miss him. So Mutarraf, he said the very same thing, rahmatullahi alayh. He said that Shaitan can see you and his group of people can see you, but you can't see them. So Shaitan has an advantage over you. So rather than waiting to be tested by Shaitan, learn from the example that came before, learn from the example of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Here Shaitan, he fools us by uncovering us. And then Shaitan, he attacks us. So the first thing Shaitan takes away from a person is their modesty. Ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, he once said that the most important thing you as a human being need to protect is your modesty and your good character. Because your modesty and good character serves as a protection from your nawafil. And your nawafil serves as a protection from your sunnah. Your sunnah serves as a protection from your fard. And your fard then becomes a protection for your iman. So once your iman is, once your modesty is gone, now Shaitan has access to everything else. He can knock down your voluntary acts and sneak into your sunnah acts and they're going to your fara'id. And then he sets inside your heart and your iman, your faith is there at risk. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, modesty is a part of faith. You can't separate both. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, modesty, every aspect of modesty is good. Because that's what Adam alayhi salam and Hawa had in Jannah before Shaitan fooled them, before he tricked them. They had that. And Shaitan, he took this away from them through making them commit that sin. And that's why their private areas were exposed. Now, the second thing that we learn in this ayah. So for men and women, both alike, make sure you try your best to cover yourself. I understand that we live in the West in a society where wearing clothes that are tight and wearing clothes that reveal you are what's looked up to, especially for our younger guys and younger girls, those that are in their mid-teens. You know, you go to middle school, you go to high school, and if you're wearing something very concealing, people will laugh at you. What, are you wearing a garbage bag? You can't buy any clothes for yourself? People will make this kind of remarks. And you need to realize that no, it's not about me wearing a garbage bag. I have an identity as a Muslim. My loyalty lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells me to cover myself, and that's exactly what I'm going to do, because my loyalty is with Allah azza wa jal. The second thing Allah says, second purpose of wearing garments, warisha. Warisha ay al-jamal. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to cover ourselves is so that we are beautiful. Your garment reflects you. Wearing a good garment, there's nothing wrong with that at all. You should wear a good garment. You should wear a garment that's beautiful to you, that reflects your personality, that shows your beauty. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his favorite color was?
Green.
I mean, most of the authentic narrations that are out there, they show the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's favorite color in clothing was white.
Right.
That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wear white. And shroud your deceased also. وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهِ مَوْتَاكُمْ And also shroud your deceased in white as well. It was his favorite color. Scholars say the reason why the Prophet loved white is because it reflected his personality. What was the personality of the Prophet? He was a very white and clean person internally as well. His soul was white and clean. His character was white and clean. His body was clean. That's why his garments were also clean. You know, I'm not making a general statement here, but from my little observation, many of us were filthy from within, but externally we just cover ourselves with beautiful garments so we have some contentment. So hollow from within, we're lacking in substance, no personality, no development. And when we're lost for looking for attraction and for people to look at us, we then cover ourselves. So when you speak to people, you wonder, am I speaking to the garment or am I speaking to the person? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man who was developed from within. And then along with that, he beautified himself even further. Now I want to engage in a small little discussion here. Someone asked a great scholar, Sheikh Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, that is it permissible to wear a garment that is very expensive? So I'll give you an example. Can I go to the mall and pick up a shirt that, can I go to the mall and wear and buy a suit that's priced at $3,000? Yes or no?
Can you afford it?
Some will say yes, some will say no. So Sheikh Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, he gave a very beautiful answer. He said, well, it's dependent on your intention. It all depends on your intention. Now, obviously, we're already understanding that this person is free of debts and this person is paying their zakat. If those two are not there, then it's not even an issue anymore. But let's consider these two things are taken care of. He's paid his debts off and this person is also paying his zakat. Now, he says that there are three possible intentions you can have. Either you're wearing it because it makes you look beautiful. Is there anything wrong with that? Not at all. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day saw a man come to the masjid and he was wearing clothes that were a little scruffy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, aren't you a businessman? Don't you have a lot of money? He said, O Messenger of Allah, I have this business and I have this, that. And the Prophet said, if Allah has given you so much money, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُحِبُّ أَن يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. If you have so much money, then why don't you show people that Allah has blessed me? Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see His favor on you. So the first thing is you're wearing it because you're looking beautiful. He said it's absolutely permissible. This is what he calls zeba'ish. The second is what he calls araish. The third is what he called numa'ish. Araish means that you're wearing it because it's comfortable. You're wearing a particular garment, you're driving a particular car, you live in a very expensive house because it's comfortable, it suits you. There's nothing wrong with that either. The third is where it's haram and not permissible. Where now you're wearing a garment to show off to the people. You're not wearing it for yourself anymore. You know that if you wear the same garment twice, people are going to frown at you. So now you go and buy a second garment just to show off to the people that look how wealthy I am. I don't wear one garment twice. This is something very, very dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Especially in the West, many of us would probably feel at this moment that pride through garments is not my thing. I wouldn't show off because of my clothes. I'm a very simple person. I'll give you an example. Imagine you went to the masjid, and while you were taking let's say you're sitting in the masjid during the lecture, and you're wearing a very nice shirt, okay, like a Prada shirt or something, right? And the person next to you is wearing a Walgreens brand shirt. When you look at that person, what would you do? Let's be honest, what would you do? Oh my God, look at that guy, what a cheap brother. Can you please come to my house afterwards? I'll give you some zakat, go buy a better shirt. That's how we'll speak. That's how many of us internally will think. We won't say it. But as soon as we see a Walmart brand tag or a Walgreens brand tag or a Kmart brand tag, we are judging that person right away. You're driving on the highway, you see one of your Muslim brothers from Brookfield community drive out and take off the 7 mile exit. You guys remember 7 mile off 94? Right? And you see, like, oh my God, what a cheapo. I knew that guy was going to the garage sale. I know he was going to the Sunday market, the boot sale. That guy couldn't afford a real shirt like that. So now we're judging people. This is a disease from within. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, ultimately, when you do adorn yourselves, when you do put a garment on your body, libas al-taqwa. Make sure your garment is one of piety. Make sure your garment is one that leads you to piety. It's covering, it's concealing, it's modest. You know, and if more than anything, libas al-taqwa, some scholars, they say, libas al-muttaquna yawm al-qiyamah. That wear garments that will allow you to stand with people who are God-fearing on the Day of Judgment. Which means now when we're looking at the word libas, we're not looking at it in a physical garment perspective, we're looking at it now from a more metaphorical perspective, where you're adorning your body with a garment, adorn your soul with good character as well. Give yourself good character. Focus on your internal along with your external. Now, I just want to quickly touch on one more verse and we'll end. In the last verse of that ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, Ya bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. O son of Adam, in particular when you go to the masjid, make sure you beautify yourself even more. There's one hadith, a Qudsi. It's a divine hadith. The Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya bani Adam, O son of Adam, kam tatazayyan linnas fahal tazayyanta li? O son of Adam, how much time do you spend beautifying yourself for your parties, your dawats, your weddings, your walimas, your aqiqas, your birthday showers, and all the other mehndis, and all the millions of parties that we have? How much time do you spend beautifying yourself for those? فَهَلْ تَزَيَّنْتَ لِي? Have you ever considered beautifying yourself for your Allah as well? What about that moment? That I'm going to the masjid, why don't I beautify myself and be in the most suitable way? You know, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, when he would teach hadith, he would wear the most beautiful garment that he possessed. The most beautiful garment that he would possess. Why? Because he would say to people, my garment shows how much honor I have for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My teacher, Sheikh Bilal, one day he came to class to teach hadith and he was wearing a sherwani. For those of you that are from the Pakistani Indian subcontinent culture, you know that we only wear sherwanis in weddings. You don't wear them to a hadith class, you're overdressed. So I asked him, I said, Hazrat, shadi ko ja rahe ho ya shadi se aa rahe ho? Are you going to a wedding or are you coming back from a wedding? He said, no, neither. I wore this garment specially for the gathering of hadith. Because this is a special gathering. You know, this is a gathering that I want to honor by me giving my attention to it by dressing properly. So when it comes to the masjid, Allah says, Ya bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Wakulu washrabu, and eat and drink as well. Wala tusrifu, however, do not exceed your limits. Don't become extravagant when it comes to your clothes, your eating, or your drink. You know, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu one day came to visit his son Ibn Umar, and he saw that his son was eating meat. For those of us who had meat today in iftar, listen to this. Umar radiallahu anhu came to his son's house, Abdullah ibn Umar, he saw his son was eating meat. He said to his son, Ma hada? What is this? He said, oh my father, today I felt like eating meat. Ishtahaitu. I had a little desire for eating meat, so I cooked some meat. So his father said to him, so from now on you're going to follow every desire that you have? Innaka minal muslifin. You are from those that are excessive. And then he said, a man who follows every desire that he has. Today I feel like ice cream, he goes eats ice cream. Today I feel like waffles, I'm going to have waffles. He tells his wife, Aaj samosa chahiye, main nihari chahiye. You know, I want nihari in the morning. Aaj samosa chahiye, I want samosa. Aaj fruit chaat chahiye, I want this. So every time he wants something, he demands it. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu says to that person, that person is from the musrifeen. That person is from those that are extravagant. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to maintain modesty.
Ameen.
And to be balanced people. Allah allows us to be balanced in every aspect of our life. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Assalamu alaikum.